Today we're going to be in Exodus 14 and 15. Both chapters are in the New King James. You guys at home, you can get out your YouVersion. This is the time to go ahead and crank up your volume, and here we go. The title of the message is Part the Red Sea. I can barely make a ham sandwich sometimes, right? How am I going to do this? Do you ever look at the Bible and kind of wonder how those guys and gals did what they were doing? I'm like, what? That's just so crazy. And then I got to remember something. It's not them. They're the ones that come on board to be obedient when God is called. He's going to do the work ahead of time. He's going to lay the stuff out there, and you're going to join him in the work and go do the stuff that he has for you to do to bring glory to him. We talk about that a lot. Why do we talk about it? Why would you think we talk about that a lot? Because we're forgetful. Don't worry, I won't be that senator that had the chapstick all down his cheek. I don't know if you guys saw that. It was kind of cute. It was great. I'll get it all. Oh, anyway. We get that chance to be obedient. And I love that God seems to find time for us to join him in his work. What I find incredible is that it doesn't always reciprocate. We will find a way to not join him in his work. And it's the sad part isn't so much that we're denying God, because that's kind of a top five, top two thing. The sad part is that when we don't join him in his work, we don't get to see his glory being revealed. I mean, obviously, we're going into the parting of the Red Seas. How would you like to have that job? Go ahead and hold your rod up. Watch this. Moses. No, God. You know, right? Or you see somebody's life changed forever for the Lord. Some of you guys that have not chosen to work with the Lord or work within the Lord or work within the confines of the Holy Spirit have not been able to see a lot of those things happen. What happens is your faith in each incidence increases. From faith to faith, as it is written, the just will live by faith. And I like those opportunities to get in there and see him doing those things. God does the work. And he lets us join him in that work. Why does he do that? Because he loves us. You know, Moses, you know this. We saw it. We've been reading it. He had no visions of grandeur. None whatsoever. He went in there with, what, me? I don't want to do it. I can't speak well. You remember that a few weeks ago? I can't speak well. I don't worry, I got an errand that's going to help you. But I don't know. And all these I don't knows and all these things, we just die a little death. You guys know that I have a saying that I like to live by. The coward dies a thousand deaths. The valiant dies but one. And I carry that into my walk with the Lord. I don't want to die a thousand deaths of no. I want to die one mortal death to have my eternal life with him. You know? I want that time with him. It's okay. I just want that time with him. I want that time to see him show himself. And you know what? I get to see him. You're going to see some very supernatural things that comes through. You're going to get the opportunity to see him do some amazing stuff. He's going to do, again, the supernatural. What we see most of the time is just the natural stuff. But you're going to see him do things that are outside the norm, right? Here, let me get that off your face. I'm going to wipe it on you because I don't have a napkin. I don't know what you've been eating, but it sure looks good. Are you up here teaching with me today? Okay, come get me, Mom. That's enough of that, she said. Isn't she cute? Got a little Christmas elf dress on. I just love that. It's Christmas all the time. Wasn't a bit bad. Did you notice she wasn't a bit bashful for coming up? You know, actually, that's a good moment to understand, because that's what it's like to go before the Lord. You know, he wants us to be a part of what he's doing. And I think many a times that we were either punished or picked on as we were growing up by a parent or an older sibling or just life. And we really don't realize just how much Jesus loves us and how much God loves us and how much he wants us to be involved in what he's doing. You know, Moses didn't wake up saying, I want to bring 2 million people to the end of the desert, to the sea, and then wonder what's going to happen next. I don't want to do that. Would you? I think many a time he doesn't tell us about the responsibility because it's going to be so overwhelming we may disqualify ourselves before we even start. He says, just step. And it may be a challenging thing. You want me to do what? No, I don't want you to do anything but be my front to people that are watching. And that's what we get to see here. Why did you pick me? Moses said. I turned the water into blood. I threw the thing down and the snakes came out, and I figured people would go, but no, it got worse. They made him make bricks without straw. Why did you pick me for that? Can you hear all that stuff still echoing? We hear that in our own life, right? I just want to get up and have an egg. I want to have a mutton, lettuce, and tomato, you know, a BLT, an MLT. They didn't have bacon. They didn't either. I just want to sit down. I don't want to do much. I remember a buddy of mine quite a few years back that he told me one day, he says, you know, I kind of looked at him. I thought he was kind of in leadership. We weren't overseeing a church at that time. We were part of the leadership team. And he was talking about, you know, I just want to have pancakes with a fruit compote on top on Sundays. And that's great. Why don't you just do it? No, I just want to wake up and not have to feel like I got to go into church. Wow, you know, if you're doing it that way, you're doing it out of your own strength and not the Holy Spirit. You know, because the folks that serve here, I don't see folks getting tired of serving. They probably just get tired of the Lord. Or they don't know to trust Him. Because the work that's done is done in the Holy Spirit. First service was a chaotic mess this morning. And I mean everything that could chip away and break down, chipped away and broke down. And you know something? God still be praised. Because He's given us the same insight as what's happened with the Israelis at the edge, you know, at the edge of this water. And that's what we're going to see today. And then God asks you to do stuff, and you just kind of look at Him and go, are you nuts? Have you ever done that with God? Come on. Yo, you probably never said it, but your body language reveals it, right? He'll have you do something, you're really like, I'm not going to do that. It's too big, it's too hot, it's too cold, the bed's not right, the bed's not, you know. No, we say, are you nuts in our actions, in our mind, our thoughts? I know I do that. I'm sure Moses did that. Are you nuts? Well, go ahead and stick your hand inside your cloak. Leprosy? Normal. He's showing His majesty to him so that he'll know to trust Him along the way. These Ebenezers that have come along the way that we get to see Him do. You know? I've considered God nuts sometimes. And what's really nuts is it's not nuts to Him, it's normal. For us, it's nutty because we're not used to doing the supernatural. And we're going to, when we close this today, you'll see some things that will even broaden your perspective. And He's up against that water's edge, ready to make that crossing point, you know? Remember we saw that film last night or last week on the crossing? Everybody got to see the film. Anybody not get to see it? If you didn't get to see it, go onto Facebook. You don't have to have an account on a computer. On a handheld, you do. And there's a link to a YouTube there. It's about about a 40-minute clip of crossing the Red Sea and just the body of work to be put forth. And I mean, a lot of folks have the crossing point, you know, in a lot of different ways. But we kind of go to the Bible to see where that happens. Can you verify this? To see where that all happens, where that goes down. And the Bible stands on its own merit. You know, can I get that one picture where it's just the blue, please, if I may? No, not that one, the first one. This one's later. We didn't put any lines because it shows them kind of all over the different routes that they've taken. And a lot of, and I apologize, I'll try next time to have this a little higher up for you, but our focus today is going to be right around this little area down here below. You're going to see that in the first part of the word that's there, that the words that are there. I really can't move that because it's tied to the cord. But here is the Mount Sinai, as everybody's known it. Last week we talked about them either coming down and crossing over here and then on into LAWZ, I'm sorry, I've got it written down, I'll come back to it, which either means the law or almonds, you know, mountain of almonds. But what we're going to notice today is, you know, there's some people that will say that the crossings happened way up here, you know, in this stuff, in this slime and glue in the bottom of it, right? And there's some that said that they crossed across here and came to this little point where there's a bit of a land bridge that's there. And that's fine, but this thing drops about 750 feet. You know, it's kind of a pretty good sized wall, a 7-story deal going on here. But as you can see, this is fairly wide. I want you to think about 2.5 million people just roughed in, okay? And they're going to come into this area, and you can see where it's walled off, right? You got this little hook. You got this little piece of land here, and a point that's here, a point that's there, a point that's there that we're going to talk about today. And I'll show you some other maps here in just a minute to help bring some light to that. But these locations, one of them is called Migdol. And Migdol is an outpost location for Pharaoh. That's right about here. What do you notice about that? It kind of can see everything that comes up on him this way, right? How did he know what was going on with the Israelites? We'll open that. Baal Zephon, which is this island right here. It's a pagan island, a pagan outpost, if you will. That's going to be talked about today. That is not up here. That is not up there. That is not around. You know, my Bible to me, based on the information that I'm growing, and I need you to be Berean in this, go and check. But based on what I see, my Bible maps don't accuracy portray what we're seeing here, you know. And then this Pihahiroth is the mouth of water. See this piece here that is a little bit hot on the game. See this here? Looks like a mouth, right? Like a mouth full of water. And it's going to talk about its relation to this entire section on the south end. Thank you, by the way. On the south end. Some interesting points. We got a boatload of people to take care of here. You know, have you ever thought about feeding all these people? Think about, okay, how much do you consume in a day? Do you know how much water the average person takes in? Now, we'll waste 7 to 11 gallons a day and only actually need 1 gallon. You know, Mary and I, we close our sinks in the bathrooms, and then we see how much water that we're wasting. And once you do that, if you just let it run and just, you know, you'll run and go walk off and do other things, you know, but if you just close that little plug and watch how much water you're using, you come up immediately to see what you're wasting. You know, we use probably about this much water starting our day in the morning, not including shower, you know. But a gallon of water is the average use. Well, you have 2 million people. How many gallons is that? 2 million gallons. Water weighs 8.33 pounds per gallon, and that's per day. You've got 2.5 million, you've got 2.5 million of gallons of water, right? Well, how about food? Food you're going to need to feed these people. Now, there is a quartermaster from the military. A quartermaster is a person that looks out over the supplies and basically takes care of the list. When you guys go on a long road trip, like on a motorcycle trip, you go on a motorcycle trip, you're a quartermaster. You're getting all your supplies you think you're going to need for that trip, including stuff that's for breakdown. You go camping, you go RVing, you go snowboarding for the day. You know, you're going to need certain things when you go, right? So you're quartermastering, if you will. The quartermaster information that we got was based on 3 to 3.5 million people. We're kind of estimating based on propagational levels, you know, from Jacob and Joseph being there, and how the migratory patterns would be probably a little closer to 2 to 2.5 million. So we pulled those numbers back a little bit, but they were saying per day, 2 long trains of food per day to feed the 3 million, about 1.33, and those trains are about a mile long. And that's every day. I mean, we don't see, how many times do you see one of your local grocery store trucks driving by with an entire truckload of food in it? You ever seen them unload it? Maybe this one, you've seen this, and it has nothing to do with food, gasoline. You'll see those gasoline trucks, you may see them one time, but you don't see them come in 2, 3, 4 times, specifically around traveling weekends, right? Firewood. You're going to need a lot of firewood for that many people, right? About 4,800 tons daily. Are you catching that? Are you feeling the burden of that? That's a lot of firewood. I was looking through it, and I was going, why do you need firewood if you've got this big pillar of fire at night? You just stick your Oscar Mayer or whatever up near it and just don't get your hand burned, you know, and let the pillar of fire warm it up, right? I don't know. They didn't have Oscar Mayer then. But what did they have? They had bread that was not baked, right? They had that unleavened bread. So we've got quite a bit of stuff going on here. You know, I was telling First Service, I've seen 1.6 million people, and it's a vast amount of people. And I remember prior to seeing that, I saw a group of around 650,000 right here in Colorado when the Pope came to town on World Youth Day quite a few years ago. Mary and I served back then, and we were up on this hill from the bowl of Cherry Creek Reservoir, and we could see the people coming in. Our job was to make sure they had water and just, you know, baseline facilities, just that they would have water to drink. And people came from afar. You guys all know what it's like here in Colorado. It's semi-arid. We drink water like it's going out of style, right? We're just pounding it down all the time because we've got to stay lubricated. It's the oil of our body, water is. Well, these guys are coming in and pounding caffeinated products, whether it be coffee, tea, or sodas of some sort, and they were dropping like flies everywhere because they didn't have enough water in the essentials. What was kind of cool, though, was seeing people come in with their standards. That's me. I'm just learning to work with this mic. Sorry. We had a foul on one of our mics today, so if you get a little extra brush across there, try not to breathe down on it. We watch the people coming in holding their standards, which is a long pole. And on that standard is a flag or a banner. And that banner usually represents your tribe. And we saw them coming from all sects of Catholicism, coming in and just groups of people. And all of a sudden, their migratory pattern just filled the entire bowl. And I told Mary, I said, there's about 650-some thousand people there. And the press at the time only reported 325,000. And I noticed about 6 years later in a report that it was saying the largest crowd that was ever non-sports related was at that event. And it was in that 600,000 plus range. So it's just a lot of people to tend to. I mean, we'll sit there and do an event on Trapper Days here, and you know, we'll take care of between 300 to 500, 600 people here, and there's a lot of work involved in that, and that's just one little segment of time. Breakfast, here's your brownie or whatever we're having. What do you call those little food bars? Food bars, I guess. That's good enough. You know, but then there's that whole other side. I mean, how many packets in that group of Purcell did they have? How many little pump squeeze bottles did they have to keep their hands clean with the Jews heading out at 2 million? You know, some of our OCD people are just going, ooh, you know, look at all the filth. How many rolls of toilet paper? And they didn't have rolls of toilet paper. What are we doing? Sand? I don't know. You know, it's not my deal. I didn't grow up like that. But, you know, what comes in goes out. All these things have to be taken care of. Whose job is it? Moses and Aaron? No. Whose job is it? It's God's job, right? It's God's job to take care of us. It's his people. It's ultimately his job. And he's doing his job. And he knows how to do his job. And he's not going to take them out in the middle of the desert and not leave them high and dry. We're the ones that thinks he'll do that. We're the ones that thinks that we think we'll do that. This matter is of the Lord. You know, I want to go to Numbers, if you can bring it up on the screen, Numbers 33, 5 through 8. And then, oops, sorry. Do we have the board? Is the board off? Okay, thanks. Then the children of Israel moved from Ramesses and camped at Succoth. And they departed from Succoth and camped at Etham, which is on the edge of the wilderness. They moved from Etham and turned back to Pi-Hahiroth, which is east of Baal Zephon, and they camped near Migdol. Those three things are going to be mattersome when we come up and talk here in a minute. They departed from before Hira and passed through the midst of the sea in the wilderness, went 3 days' journey in the wilderness of Etham and camped at Marah. May I get the other map, please? The first one, the second one, which is elongated. This is the map based on this point in Numbers 33 and 6. You can see where they came around. Here's Migdol. Here is the mouth of water right here. Here is Baal Zephon, which is a cult site. This is a cult island right here. Guys, I'm so sorry. And if you want to stand up to see that, you can do that so you don't conk your neighbor on the head. But they came all the way up to Etham and turned back, and they camped right here. And this is where the Egyptians would have camped and then shot across this way and gone across. Can I get one of the next screens, please? We'll just kind of work through some of this. We'll go ahead and bounce past that one. I probably shouldn't have put that one in, but that's okay. Here we go. Here is an aerial view of the day, if you will. Coming down from the west, that's east off over here. What you have is Pharaoh's army camped here. Here's the watchtower for Migdol. Here's a pillar of fire You guys remember how we had to have a case for it? Pillar case? Okay. Anyway, went up to Etham and then came back down, and that's where their encampment was before they started crossing over. Isn't that crazy? And it's all right there in front of us. We're going to hold on that screen. I'm going to go jump into Exodus 14 real quick. Yeah. Father, your word, please, 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 please speak. 14 and 1 of Exodus in New King James. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they turn and camp before Hairoth, between Migdal and the sea opposite of Baal Zephon. So do we have that? Oh, good. Thank you. So we have that map. If we can bounce one or two back so we can kind of find it again, or forward, that's fine too. Okay, again. So we're going to camp here and right by Migdal here and Baal Zephon. So there's no question marks in this, right? This is where we're talking about. So why do we get into some of these other paths? This Nineveh Beach up here is where it was said that they crossed over one time. But again, like we said, it's a pretty fair drop. And it doesn't have the super width that's going on there as well. And then coming down through that mountain range is, if you look at it, I didn't put a picture in, but there's a very extremely narrow road, just enough for two wheels to come through. And this is an incredible beachhead, but it doesn't speak of these things. You know, these different islands and whatnot. So that part is not the same as this part. And you shall camp before it by the sea. For Pharaoh will say to the children of Israel, they are bewildered by the land, and the wilderness has closed them in. How did they know that if Pharaoh wasn't even there yet? Well, you have this Migdal, which is his outpost, if you will. How did they get word back? I mean, that's a long journey. Could I get the overview map? Maybe the first one. Very first one, please. I mean, you figure up in that green spot all the way down to here, that's a long way. Have you got an idea on that? What do you think? What do you think online? Type in something if you think. Carrier pigeon? Right? Is that what you're thinking? I agree. You're talking about roughly, in good weather, from there to there is about a 5-hour flight, carrier pigeon. That was the mode of delivery of information, secret information, well into World War I. We were using carrier pigeons then. And then they got their very first landline, where it was a microphone headset running across the line that laid on top of the land back to the command base. And that's how they would talk. But what would happen is the enemy would come across and cut the landline. You know, once you cut the landline, you can't talk. You're back to... You know, if you had the rednecks on the other side, they'd get up there and go peel that thing off their leg and take a look at it. If it was encrypted, they couldn't read it. And if they understand the cryptology, then they could go ahead and make sense of it, right? The landline repair would have to happen, and they'd reach down there. It could be on a hotter day or something like that, or it could be on an icy day where they're pulling the line up and looking for it. The whole while, the guy is, instead of in his foxhole, he said, go repair that line. Here's your knife and black tape, and go out there and repair it. And then he'd go down and feel the line all the way back until it wasn't how to get cut. Well, again, the guy would come across the enemy lines, or we would theirs, and cut their landline, cut their communication. Two or three segments, two or three repairs. You see, so you cut it away and take a whole chunk of it out, where you have to bring in another roll to reestablish communication. It's not like, oh my gosh, I got to text my girlfriend. How come she isn't getting back? Dude, it had to go from your phone across to a satellite, up to the air, back down again, back out across the landline to that person's phone. Be patient. Your words are traveling very far. They're going to outer space and back. I'm kidding, but not. So we've got a 5-hour flight, and that's how you could easily keep up with them. You know, 5-6 hours, whatever it may be. And Egyptians, that they may know. Oh, excuse me, back up. Chapter 14, verse 4. Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them, and I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all of his army, and the Egyptians may know that I am Lord. And they did so. Now it was told the king of Egypt that the people had fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants had turned against the people, and they said, why have we done this? Why did we let Israel go from serving us? Think about it. There was your free slavery. You know, they're gone. 2 million people are gone. You go to Jacksonville, Florida, and what do you have? The largest land layout in the states of a town, right? But you take a chunk of those people away. You take 2 million out of the workforce, they're gone. You take 2 million out of the workforce in Colorado, half the state's gone, right? That's a lot of people. You feel that. So who's making those bricks? The building stopped. You know, the people that were living it high and mighty now are either having to make bricks or commerce is just not happening. And all your silver and gold and cattle are gone because it was given to the Israelites. They're done. They've already forgotten the things that the Lord has done in the 10 plagues that happened their way. 6, so he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 choice chariots and all the chariots of Egypt with captains over every one of them. So we're not talking some slug that's coming in. We've got all the folks that know what they're doing coming in on the chariot. And on top of that, we got the detailed Humvee to come in and do the work. See, this is the weapon of mass destruction of its day. You got 2 million people and you got at least 600 chariots of the Green Beret style coming down to take out these folks, or at least take out the army front line so the others will follow in suit. You know? And you're talking a chariot with either 4, 6, or 8 spokes. 8 would have been date specific more so. 4 would have been more of a leader, could have been Pharaoh, something like that. But this is what's going on. They're coming down. They're bearing down on them. They got news. It's time to make this happen. In 8, and the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with boldness. You remember that when they left? They were like, dude, give me your jewelry. Hey, man, give me that silver. Give me your earrings. And the Egyptians were taken. Give me your cow, man. I want a cow. Don't have a cow, man. No, but they have the goats and the sheep, which was normal in the desert, but cows weren't, right? We saw a little of that in that video last week. Again, if you haven't seen it, go look it up. It's on YouTube. So the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and they overtook them by camping by the sea at the mouth of water, right down here. They overtook them here. This is a very wide landmass that's flat near the water. They didn't come across the mountains. You don't travel like that. You take the path of least resistance unless you're flanking somebody. And of course, we either aerial drop, boat drop, or ground run. They're meeting them here. Isn't that cool? I about hurt my finger. Don't push so hard. And before Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. They're freaking out. Why? Can I get a few more pictures? Bounce me up about 4. Go to number 4 or 5, please. Go beyond that one. That's from last week. Here's kind of another overview. You're going to get some duplication because we tried to put in Bible.ca. I don't agree with a lot of their theology because Jesus is an authoritarian that I can see based on it. They believe that baptism is the only way to salvation, that Jesus is not enough. And I just don't agree with that. In this mapping, though, that I think they've done their homework fairly well. And then also this comes from Google Maps. But again, you can kind of get a lay of the land. Here, see? And here's where the pillar of fire was. I just love that. I know we probably pointed that out before, but here's that mouth of water, looks just like a mouth, and then the camp as well. And again, here is the outlook. Can we go ahead to the next one, please? It may be the same one. Okay, here's another view of it. The watchtower, here's Pharaoh's camp. Here's again the pillar of fire, mouth of water, the cult guys, and then, no, they didn't have an airport then. So I know the airport's there, but that wasn't then. Yeah, okay, yeah, that's kind of silly. Anyway, and then the shut-in. Why was it shut-in? Please go to the next map, and you may have to bounce that one. That's the same, kind of the same thing. We can go ahead and jump it. Thank you. Here's a little closer piece to this as well. See, this is about where they're going to travel across. And you can see just by mild colorization, just some of that land bridge, and we'll get into the numbers on that as well. Please, the next one. You know, they were fenced in by many different ways. You know, you've got the mountains hemming them in, and then the wilderness to the north hemming them in. If you don't understand what these are serious clumps of mountains and trees. And you're not going to push 2 million people through there. Have you ever tried to comb out a hairy dog? That'd be kind of like that, you know. Well, maybe not exactly, but anyway, they went on up there as we saw in Numbers and then came on back down. Next line, please. Trapped by the mountains. Yep, next one. I think we're still considered. Actually, go back to that one quick. You see how that again, that colorization is? Now, this is a little more modern, so it's going to have a coral reef that's growing on it. But in its time, it would have been a hardened silt of its day. The next ones are going to be a little more as if you were standing in the scene. Please go to the next slide. Okay. So this is, again, here's the mouth. We're on the south. The military would be here, pillow of fire here, Egyptians here, Israelites here, and then there's the watchtower. Next one, please. And more of the same. This is looking at it from the mountain, the Baal mountain. Okay? And see how the hills are? See on the other side of that range how that smooth is coming up and through? Go ahead, please. And then just the crossing. No airport there. Please, one more. And where are we at? What are we looking at? Oh, okay, this is actually, you would be heading out across the water. If you cross the water right here, you'd be seeing Baal Zephon. Go ahead, please. I think there's one last. Maybe no. Yep. Close enough. Pretty cool, huh? It's real simple until we get into it a little more. So imagine looking up and seeing these people coming at you. And I mean, they're coming at you. They're bearing down on you. And they are skilled military men. Did you catch that? If you had 30 skilled military men come in and they said, this is not happening, this is purely fictitious. They came in the door, they came in through the windows with all of their gear, their head armor. Would you freak out? Probably so. It's normal. They're skilled. Well, now you've got all of Egypt's army coming to get you. You're freaking out, and this is what they say. Because, in 11 of 14, they said to Moses, because there was no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Is this what you chose for us to do? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt? Kept saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Remember last week we brought up when tensions come, we'll revert back to what we know. In using this room with the lentils, we would go back to a house of bondage as opposed to trusting where the Lord's going, because our faith is many times based on what we see and what we know. Well, let me tell you something. The cool thing about the Word is it gives you the opportunity to know more about God, thus trust Him. So when you step out of the things that seem to be fearful and challenging, you're pressing into the Lord, and He fights our battles. Look what Moses says back to them. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Listen, how many times have you counseled somebody to say, and they're just rattling on, and they're going through their mantra of challenge and pain and angst and agony, and you're like, dude, stop. Stop! Stop it! Where's the Lord in this? Have you ever done that with somebody or have somebody do that to you? Dude, are you done? So where's the Lord in all this? And if they can't answer that, then they can't see the Lord in the midst of it because they're focused on all the debris in front of them. You know? We're just seeing us here. That's what we see. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish, will is a promise, for you today. He will do it for you today. Just stop and get your mind on the Lord. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. Your enemy is done. Those guys that are freaking you out over there, they're dead. Their family, dead. You'll never see them again. Wall of water, daytime, if so, plume of cloud, Egyptians bearing down. Yeah. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace, Moses says to them. Chill out. Settle down. He's going to fight this battle. Well, Moses wasn't outside of this. And the Lord says to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. To what? Just tell them to go forward. Lift up your rod. You remember snake rod? Remember you threw it on the ground. I showed you the snake and you freaked out and ran from it, but you grabbed it and shook it stiff again, right? That's that rod that turned the water to blood. That's that rod that's done all the work thus far, that shepherd's stick. Take that one, that rod. Stretch it out, your hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children shall, which is a promise, go through on dry land, dry ground, through the midst of the sea, in the middle of the sea. And I indeed will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, and his chariots and his horsemen, and the Egyptians know that I am the Lord when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh and his chariots and horsemen. And the angel of God, who's that? Yeah. The angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. So let me ask you a question. Is it me, or would you freak when you saw that? You see, the thing is, step by step, every part through the desert, they're used to following Lord by day as a cloud, by night as fire. And now they're seeing whatever that looked like move from in front of them to now over by the mouth of water to guard Egypt from coming in right before your eyes. How many miracles does it take for us to trust in the Lord? How quickly do we forget to trust in the Lord? Do you understand? They saw that happen, okay? That's cool. What's next? But wait, there's more. He moved it. So it came between the camp of Egypt and the camp of Israel. Thus, it was a cloud of darkness to the one, and it gave light by the night to the other, so that one did not come near the other all that night. So that night was covered. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back. Always remember who does the work, please, and always give glory to him, lest he smite you or give you a smackdown. And it's not because of that. He's deserving of praise. The Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong wind all that night and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on the dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them in their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horsemen, his chariots, and his horse. What's happening here is we've got this wall opening up, and we've got a solid wind blowing through all night on this light silt, very light, thin silt that's being blown through and drying out the grounds. You need to understand, this distance is about 11 miles. The depth is about four stories, and the width is about a half a mile consistently all the way through. If you shoulder-to-shoulder people, you'll get about 1,600 people wide. If you get ranks of about that many people and 1,320 ranks, you'll embody 2.1 million people moving through at a distance of about 2 to 3 miles an hour. And if that's the case, between 4 and 8 hours, the entire body will be moved from the start to finish. By the time that first person steps out, within four, I don't know that they're just kind of walking, going through the park, walking fluffy. You know, you're seeing water. You're like, okay, let's get on. Come on, Grandma. You ready? Come on, boys. You're trying to move through. So even still, that first person's getting through about 4 or 5 hours. You know, they're moving through on a 6% grade in to a 6% grade out. That's why this crossing section, based on the word, based on what we can see with maps, that this is where God did it. Period. I think it's kind of cool. But I want to ask you a question. How do you think they slept the night before? You know, have they been hanging out 7, 8 days, you know, kind of resting, getting ready for the next big section of time? waiting for the Egyptians to catch up with them so God could be glorified? Let's think about it. You're freaked out, panicked. You know what the Egyptians can do. You grew up with them your whole life. You know the butchery that could happen, right? Now they're pushed up against water and you're like, oh, we're going to die. And then you see this big thing move over and this fire by night, cloud by day is protecting you. And now you see the waters open up and there's a big wind. How do you think your tent is holding up tonight? Are you going to like nuzzle in and sleep? Some of you would. Most would be a little freaked out, myself included. I'd probably be up all night. And now you're going up wall of water. I want to tell you, one time, it was last summer, my nephew was with me. And I was driving my white car, my minivan that I have. You know, that real man van, that hunk of man type of vehicle. That just no, I mean, only studs want my van. And he's in the vehicle with me at summertime, and we see them blowing out the water, the fire. You know about that stuff where they blow out the fire hydrants, right? Are they getting rid of the water and the burping out of those things or whatever they do to make sure the water's good? So you're, when they need the firemen need to hook onto the water to your house don't burn down. And I mean, this water is shooting out. It's, you know, it's pretty good size and diameter. I don't know what the dimension of those things are, 4 or 6 inches, whatever. And I was like, hey, you want to go up there and you know, see if he'll let you tag the water, go play? And he, yeah, sure. I don't know, he's probably like 12, 13 years old. So I rolled down the window and I said, well, let's roll down the window to talk to him. And he started to do that and I pull up near the water. And as soon as I rolled down the window, I drove up into the water and I hit the brake and stopped. And for 3 seconds, water just flooded the inside of my car. I know you would not do that, but you're not me. And I so enjoyed seeing his face after he came out of the water that went, and it kind of hurt his neck a little bit, you know, because the water pressure was so much. And that was just this much water. That wasn't 11 miles on this side and another 11, that's 22 miles of water four stories high laying down on each other, like what we saw 32 feet high affect Katrina in an 8-hour path, a 400-mile path swath, whatever, and 50 miles deep, basically from Denver to Santa Fe, 50 miles wide was the affected area. Water does damage, it does damage hard, and it's not jumping into the pool off the high board. You know, it's hitting you at a very good rate. These guys that got hit with this stuff were probably concussed on site and drowned immediately. Because you know when it's coming in, the first thing you do is suck in to scream, right? And then glug, glug, you're done. You think they slept good? And they come up on the other side. And the Lord does the work. You know, why do we slow this down so much? We need to. We need to slow this down to where we can see the Lord doing the work and He allows us to do. There's nothing we can do without His hand, not one thing, not one thing. Let me go in here. Let's just jump at 28. Then the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the army of Pharaoh came into the sea after them. Not so much as one of them remained. They died, all of them. Can you imagine having all that military gear on you and being sunk down? I mean, you can't come out of copper and brass and gold plate, nickel. But the children of Israel walked on dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them on the right and to the left side. So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Thus Israel saw a great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. See, he's still marking that this was done in Egypt. You remember? They had to get out of Egypt. That Sinai is still part of Egypt. That's why him talking to them at the Sinai cannot be Egypt. They had to be out, as we saw in the film. And believe the Lord and His servants Moses. Lastly, what did they do when they got on the other side? They did a cookie dance. Remember? You guys have little kids and they get their first cookie, right? What do? They go, they're like, cookie. Do your kids like go? And they're all spastic because they're so happy to get a cookie. They did way, way big like that. But they sang a song, and it has 4 stanzas. And you know the first 2 stanzas end with, they're dead, we're not. They drop like a rock. In 15, then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord. See, it's always an audience of one when we worship. We don't worship and listen to each other. We don't worship a song because it's on the top 40 of our mind worshiping God. We praise and honor an audience of one. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, the horse and its rider. He has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. You ever thought about that? The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. His name is his nature. His name is an indicator of all that he is. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he cast into the sea. His chosen captains are drowned in the sea. The depths have covered them. They sank to the bottom like a stone. That's the end of stanza one. I love it. They sank. They're done. They're dead. Can you imagine the joy you felt? Because now, no longer, though they came down that same bridge that you were on, they're gone, right? Your right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, has dashed the enemy in pieces, and in greatness your excellence. You have overthrown those who rose against you. You sent forth your wrath. It consumed them like stubble, and with the blast of your nostrils, the water were gathered together. The flood stood upright like a heap. The depths congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue. I will overtake. I will divide the spoil. My desire shall be satisfied on them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. You blew with your wind, the sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty water. Glug, glug. You can write glug, glug if you like. Who is, this is stanza three. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praise, doing wonders? You stretched out your right hand. The earth swallowed them. You in your mercy have led forth the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them in your strength to your holy habitation. Stanza four. The people will hear and be afraid. Sorrow will take hold of the inhabitants of Philistia. The chiefs of Edom will be dismayed. The mighty man of Moab, they're already plotting out the things that are going to happen next, that the folks will be paralyzed when they see what the Lord has done to the Egyptians, thus supporting the Israelis. Trembling will take hold of them. All the inhabitants of Canaan will melt away. Fear and dread will fall on them. By the greatness of your arm, they will be as still as a stone. Till your people pass over, O Lord, till your people pass over, whom you have purchased, you will bring them in and plant them in the mountain of your inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which you have made. For your own dwelling, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established, the Lord shall reign forever and ever. May I encourage your prayer life to be an exaltation of his work. And when you hear the vanity sound come in, have him drown that with his Holy Spirit. One of the things two, three years ago with the worship team, we said, we don't want songs of me, my, us, kiss, kiss. We want songs of adoration to him. And glory be given to him. And that's kind of taking it out of the book of Revelation, where all glory has been brought to the Lord. See, there was a time in the late 90s, early 2000s, where everything was about me, my, and the above. And I know some of the psalmist letters are that way because he's going through challenge, woe, and despair, and we get very narcissistic in that. We just saw that happen here. But I will tell you, we take that from this internal negative to the outward glory praises of the Lord. That's why worship has such a key place here. The horses of Pharaoh went with his chariots and the horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought back the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. They didn't even stumble. And then the girls get in. They get out their tambourines. Here we go. Then Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron and Moses, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out with her and timbrels and danced. And Miriam answered them, "Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea." Wow, to sing songs like that. To sing songs about your enemy, but to sing songs about his righteousness and all of that. So you think all there is to it is a mutton, lettuce, and tomato sandwich, and you're having a hard time getting through your day? I can understand that when you're so self-focused that you can't even lift your head, though your enemies are abounding and gnawing at your ankles. But I will tell you and remind you that our Father in heaven is here on earth doing his work every single day, and you surrender but to him. You know, Moses was a regular guy. His name means drawn from water. This guy has been around water his whole life. He's a water bug. And it's even come at his demise because he couldn't go into the land of milk and honey because he struck the water with his own heart on the parallel with that of the Lord, and it kept him out. But the thing we also have to note is that this book is water to our soul. And it washes away the debris, just like the debris of the Egyptians. Remember, the Egyptians reminded us of bondage. Thus, sin reminds us of bondage. And the Lord washed it away. His word does that every day. We're powerless without the hand of God. We have to have him step by step, fire by night, cloud by day. And we can use these guys as a reference to that. As we're closing out here, we do nothing without Christ, period. We do nothing without Christ. You know, Philippians 4, 11 through 13, it'll be boarded for you. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned whatever state I am to be content. I don't care if you're hungry. I don't care if you're on day 30 of a 40-day fast. I don't care where you're at. You're to be content because of the Lord. Not because of your situation. I don't care what your enemies are. I don't mean that disrespectfully. What I'm saying, I don't care about your enemies, meaning I care more about the Lord in your life over your enemies, and that you give him the glory in the midst of that. That's the mattersome peace. That's the thing that stands up so close in front of us. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound without boundaries. Everything and in all things I have learned to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. I've seen the A to Z of suffering. I've seen the A to Z of plenty. And with that understanding, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. See, we say that tagline first, but we don't contextualize it first. It comes from a story of knowing the boundaries of the Lord or even the limitations of our life. But that in all things, I can do what Christ does, who strengthens me. What a statement of faith. I am in to be content. I know I have my baseline. I know how to abound without bound. I know where from being full in my stomach to being hungry, having greatness and suffer greatly. I know I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. Before we do this final song, I want you to hear the words of this song because it is mattersome. You know, prior to that scripture, John 14, 12 through 14, most assuredly, that means rest assured. Don't get caught up in what you think you know. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Now, I've been back and forth on that in my own life. You mean I can separate water? If it is of him to bring glory to him, and no, I probably won't have to deal with that. I can separate water. I put my cup in the freezer, and the water comes out, and I separate that water from the refrigerator. That's about the best I can do, right? But if he wants me to do something that is supernatural, that brings him the glory, guess what's going to happen? That. Reread. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, because he's gone to his Father, that I will do. And the Father may be glorified in the Son, if you ask anything in my name. We don't go to any saint. We don't go to our forefathers before us. We go to no human before the Lord. The only time we come to other humans is to confess with them that they can pray. Not for gossip, just for relief. Sometimes you just got to talk through things. But let me tell you something. We go to the Lord, who is our mediator, in a sense. And the Holy Spirit surfaces the things that are to be said. But this song, I texted them yesterday. I said, you know, there was a reason for this song, but it was one part of it. But when the words are read, it speaks even more so. Communion will be for you during this song, and it's right there at the back out of your convenience and for your convenience. I can see. I want you to put yourself in your modernity today and also put yourself in this time. I can see waters raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear sounds of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. I can walk down this dark and painful road. I can face every fear of the unknown. I can hear all God's children singing out, "We'll not be overtaken. We will not be overcome." The same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commands the dead to wake, lives in us. The same power that moves mountains when He speaks, the same power that can calm a raging sea, say it with me, lives in us. We have hope that His promises are true. In His strength, there's nothing we can do. Yes, we know there are greater things in store. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commands the dead to wake, lives in us. The same power that moves mountains when He speaks, the same power that can calm a raging sea, lives in us. Say it, lives in us. Greater is He that is living in me. He's conquered Jesus. He's conquered our enemy. No power of darkness, no weapon prevails. We stand in victory. Greater is He that is living in me. He's conquered our enemy. When you go for communion at the back of the room today, and for you guys at home, if you got juice, a cracker, a tortilla, I don't care. Last night's stale bread on a plate. If you don't have anything, just grab some water or just go through a time of communion. But I want you guys to take a minute here and keep things in proper perspective of just who you're communing with. You're communing with somebody that just spread the seas and blew dry land and with nature protected the Israelites in the fact of 2 to 2.5 million people. Protected each and every one of them. And you want to know something? Not one of them stumbled. Not one. Because of God. When you do communing with Him, it's what He did on the cross. It's what He took before, and He had His body beaten for everything we've done wrong against God and man. That's who we're communing with. And why? Because He loves us. Don't want to forget that He loves us. Ever. Ever. Amen? Worshiping the Holy Spirit, we worship God. He'll guide you in all of it. We love Him and depend on Him. We love Jesus and depend on Him. We love God and depend on Him. Others will fail, but not Him. Ever. Ever. Amen? All right. Let's bring it up.